And one will do something to another one that maybe they shouldn't do, and they'll realize it, and then they'll jump up and say, "Oh, I take that back." We can't take things back. Once things are said, once things are done. They're said. We can apologize for it. We can wish we hadn't done it. We can say we're sorry, but you can't take it back.
Where there is prophecy, there were seas. Where there are tongues, then will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we have prophecy in part, but when complacentness comes, when it's part of it disappears, when a child of God, I talk like a child, I thought like a child, I respond, I reason like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of a child behind me. For now we see only reflections in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. For the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, Art. So we're looking at this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 for 4 weeks. Last week we talked a little bit about a definition of love, and we looked at a variety of terms that are used throughout the New Testament to talk about love. And I think we identified 8 possible terms that are used in the New Testament to refer to the concept of love. Obviously, what was the strongest form of love that we read about last week? Anybody remember? Agape. Very good, Ray. Agape. And what type of love was that?
God's love.
God sacrificed what? His son to come to this earth to die on Calvary, which was the greatest form of love that the New Testament exemplifies. So we're going to look at another characteristic of love this week. And I'll be honest with you, when I teach these lessons, oftentimes, as Austin did this morning in his lesson, I teach it for myself as well as the people who are listening. So today we're going to be talking about patience. And I need this lesson. I sometimes am not a very patient person. Neil talks about his lack of patience when he's driving, and I'm very similar to that. But when I present proposals to companies and I'm sitting there waiting for a response, my patience sometimes wears a little thin. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, in the New International Version, this is what we're going to be talking about today. Because Paul says, love is patient. Next week we'll talk about the next sentence there. Love is kind. But love is patient. And patience is not always easy for us to obtain. So if you talk about patience, one of the things that I ran across, I thought was a really good statement, is, "Lord, please give me patience and give it to me now." I've been in that situation numerous times in my life, but I'm not so sure that's the way it's supposed to work. I'm not so sure that's the way it's supposed to work. What's the origin of patience? You know, biblically, we've talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but you get into the 3rd century, and Cato the Elder did some writing, and he said, "Of human virtues, patience is the most great." Now you think of the society that he was in at that time. and the threat that the Greek world was experiencing during that time. You know, countries were trying to conquer other countries, and you know, patience was something that just wasn't that much wasn't very apparent in their society. If you go back to the origins of the Catholic Church, they identified seven virtues that people ought to have. Temperance was the virtue that says don't be greedy about things. Justice, be fair. Prudence, they defined as taking the time or the patience to be wise. And that's kind of interesting when you think about what's the relationship between wisdom and patience. And oftentimes I think when you go back to that slide we put up there, Lord, grant me patience and grant it now, I think there's a relationship there. Relationship that if I'm going to be wise, sometimes that takes time. It takes time to reflect on what I'm hearing from other people. It takes time to reflect on the situation, the circumstances that I'm involved with. And that takes some time. It takes some patience in order for me to arrive at a conclusion that's characterized by wisdom. They went ahead to say fortitude is a virtue, and that's being brave. Faith, hope, charity. In other words, believing, never giving up, doing good to those around you. Those were seven virtues that the Catholic Church came up with in about the 10th century. And then when you look at patience is defined as inner strength versus rushing into something, or sound judgment versus a demanding position that you take on something. So there's a lot of people that have written a lot, you know, about patience. But how would you define patience? How would you illustrate patience in terms of your own life? So this is the time when you respond. And so wait till Richard gets the microphone to you, and Monty's got something back there.
Be patient, I'll get there. Thank you. In looking back, I think patience is raising your children without killing them. Now, I understand that there is a law against that. But if you've had children and you raise them up to adulthood and you've gone through the various stages of child rearing, patience is pretty important, and some days it's hard to get a hold of it. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to come back and talk about that in just a minute. But yes. Exactly. It requires some patience if you're going to be a parent, doesn't it?
Well, back when I was working, retired now, but it took me, I was applying for an apprenticeship program, and it took 5 years. On the fifth year, I finally got in. On the fourth year, I was also accepted, but they changed all the rules and canceled it, and I got in. So then again, and I applied in the fifth year and got in. And then spent 4 years in that apprenticeship program. Had to serve all the years of it. There were other people who sometimes were given credit, but no. So I was an apprentice for 9 years. And even during that time, there were politics, and I was out of work for 6 months. So I often said during that time that the Lord was teaching me patience. And it was, if I had to put a blame somewhere, there were other people to blame, but I learned patience.
Okay.
And instead of going around complaining, I did my time.
Yep. Good example. Other examples?
I practice it a lot daily, maybe not so good. I try to slow down with what I deal with work. I deal with insurance. And when people come in asking questions, I just want to hurry up and answer. I already know what you want. I know what you're looking for. I want to give it to you. So to take the time to listen to what they're saying, to understand what they're asking me for, is sometimes asking follow-up questions is a way that I use to slow myself down so that I can let them get everything out so I'm able to answer their question. But like Monty, a lot with raising my kids, it's a little bit more difficult there. A lot of deep breaths, a lot of just basically slowing down and living in that moment, not trying to get to the next thing, not trying to move past it, but really living in that moment and seeing the best way that I can handle it in that moment. Like Neil says, doing the next best thing.
I think you bring up a really good issue. That is that sometimes we can have patience, and other situations, patience is a little more difficult to come by. We're going to ask you a question. You think about that. Why is that? But we'll come to that in just a minute. Other examples about patience. We're over here. And
well, I'm not sure about an example right off hand, but it's to me, it's accepting that situation you're in, whatever it might be.
Okay.
So it's accepting the problem that it might be.
Okay.
And to refer back to him as far as the kids go, you got to remember, your parents are going to get older one day, and we're going to have patience with y'all. So just want to point that out real quick.
Acceptance of something. Well, I may not agree with it, but accepting it. And I've got a comment back here.
Getting to the subject of patience. Now, I've heard several people say they're impatient when they're driving their car. For myself, I leave early. I don't care where I'm going. I think it through. Do I need to even leave earlier? I know there's these 5-minute traffic lights. So when we leave what I call late, you leave yourself wide open. Well, why didn't that guy go through that light? He's gonna make me late. You were already late. So, just a real quick story. A week ago this last Friday, a guy almost ran over me. I was on my bicycle. And I mean, it could have been real ugly if I would have survived, you know. But he run a stop sign. And when he finally come to his senses, he rolled down the window and apologized to me. And it took a lot of patience to not kind of unload on this guy, because I asked him, and I was as calm as I could be, thankful my brakes worked on my bike and all that. But I asked him, were you texting? No. You run the stop sign. Do you know where you're at? And I asked him a series of about 5 questions. He had totally admitted it was his fault. Are you running late? No. You run a stop sign. Sometimes, I mean, as individuals, we got to think things through. And every once in a while, it's good to use cruise control if we can. But we can't go with the attitude, it's always the other guy's fault. He's going to make me later. Did you see that guy do this? Or we have to do some self-examining.
Yeah. You're right. I think, and you brought up a good point, that is, it's tough to have patience if your visibility is right here. If it's out here and you can plan and think through things, patience is a little easier. I often wondered, as I was rearing my children, you know, my father sometimes lacked patience with me. But when I had children and we'd take the grandkids home, my dad was very patient with them. And so maybe with the mistakes that he made with me, which are still apparent, he learned from that, and he could realize that, you know, they're where they are, but they're going to be somewhere else. a year from now, 2 years from now, as they grow up. So if our perspective can be out here somewhere and we can think ahead and plan ahead, then we can have a sense of patience. It's easier to have patience. Got one over here, Richard. Charlotte.
Well, my kids can tell you easily I have no patience, but I am learning as I get older and am dealing with my parents that everything I look at, they've had to deal with me. And I think that's true in the work world, and I think that's true in everything we do. We all have to learn. And we forget sometimes that we think we know the answers, or maybe we do know the answers, but we've been in the shoes of the person that's there. And even if it takes counting to 10 four or five times, we need to put ourselves back in that position.
Exactly, exactly. Sometimes I'm afraid I just get too tired sometimes when I'm talking to my kids to deal with it. So it looks like I have patience, but I'm just worn out. I don't have time to deal with that. So here's my question. We all struggle, I think, from time to time with patience. So what is it that keeps us or hinders us from having patience? I mentioned, yes.
We're simply not putting forth the effort. It takes a constant conscious effort to be patient. And if we as Christians cannot be patient, then nobody on this earth is going to be patient.
So what you're saying then is that patience may be intentional?
It takes a constant effort.
So it's not something that just naturally comes to you.
No way.
Just naturally patient all the time. No, it's intentional. Art.
I was just thinking, so to me, in a fast-paced environment that we're in today, it's hard to be patient because everybody's so result-driven, right? You know, you got to get this done today, you got to get this done tomorrow. So I think understanding and maybe slowing down to not be part of that fast pace could probably help us. I know for me in the world I live in, you know, it's result-driven. So, you know, patience is not a good thing because, yeah. You know, bottom line. But I think what you have to do is just understand how to get there, slow down, and pray a lot. Slow down, pray a lot, and then it comes. But it's we're so result driven. I think the world is today.
Exactly right. When I work with companies, oftentimes I tell them that one of the characteristics of the future is going to be you're going to have to do more with less. And don't think it's going to go away. Don't think you're going to go back to the good old days. Next week, you're going to have to do more with less. And the following week, you're going to have to do more with less resources. So that's going to continue to be a pressure on us. And you're right. Patience is difficult to come by in that situation. Yes, sir.
I often think that it has to do with controlling yourself in your mind. Okay. On what you can control and then try to control the other things that are out of control to you. I can give you one that's kind of humorous. My kids, all their toys that made a lot of noise, before they ever got the toys, I would break the clickers or the sirens or disable all that noise stuff. And my kids got a choo-choo train that had red flashing lights and some toy that made a lot of noise and red flashing lights. It wasn't years later they saw another toy like that and they said, "What? That toy makes that noise?" And you know, the little roll around thing that has balls.
Oh yeah, it has a ball popping in it.
Yeah, there were some things I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop the balls from making noise. But if it hadn't been for that, I would have gotten angry about all the noise and probably hollered at them or something. So I nipped it in the bud before the noise ever. So that some people are more patient and they could have put up with all that noise and gone around and carried on their life, but I had to do something different. Sound terrible for the kids, but
yeah. Oh, Rafe got one then.
One of the hardest times for me to have patience is when I'm attacked personally. Somebody, you know, through words or whatever, are attacking me, you know, and I feel it as being an attack. Sometimes I want to respond right away. And I have to have patience because, you know, sometimes words might slip out that will ruin a relationship or something. So that's the hardest time for me to have patience.
You know, I watch kids playing on a playground sometimes, and one will do something to another one that maybe they shouldn't do, and they'll realize it, and then they'll jump up and say, "Oh, I take that back." We can't take things back. Once things are said, once things are done, they're done. They're said. We can apologize for it. We can wish we hadn't done it. We can say we're sorry, but you can't take it back. Then your wife wants to say something.
Okay. Just listening to some of these things that are said, we tend to think that patience is either something we have or we don't have, but I'm hearing people say, "I learned patience."
Uh-huh.
"I prepared. I thought about it in advance. I took steps to, when I got to that situation, find patience."
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes, Lisa got something.
I don't know if I'll say this correctly, but I think patience is a selfless act.
Selfless.
Meaning when you're in a relationship, whether it be with your children or fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and I realize there's the situations that I've been giving where somebody nearly ran over you or things, but when you're dealing with those people or any person, it's really a selfless act for you to show patience with someone. It's not about your will or your opinion or how you think the outcome should be, taking away buzzers from kids' toys. but it's really a selfless act. And I know, you know, being an older parent and having a 16-year-old, I go nuts, absolutely nuts. And, but I realize that it's because I want the outcome to be what I want the outcome to be, not what he thinks he needs the outcome to be in growing as a person, as a man, as a Christian. But I want to try to, so I need to step back and make it selfless and show more patience with him in conversations we have, in whatever directives I'm trying to give him, whatever the case may be, so that he can grow as a person. And I have to look at relationships I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ the same way, that it's not about my opinion or what I want the outcome to be.
It's a selfless act. You're exactly right. Yes.
I was thinking of two things for me. I don't know if you've noticed, but common sense doesn't seem to be very common a lot of times. And it's hard for me sometimes when I'm dealing with people that don't seem to have it to just take a deep breath. The other thing, I also work in the insurance industry for 36 years, and the last six or seven of it, spent a lot of time locked in a little room with depositions with attorneys. And attorneys will go out of their way to see what they can do, and there's a couple of reasons for it. A, they want to get a good answer from you that's good for them. And also, they're also trying to see what's going to happen if they take that to court and how you would react or what they could do to you then. But learning the patience to do all of that and not just explode is just, it's incredible what it takes to do that. It takes doing it all the time. And, you know, I kind of got to the point with the attorneys is going, okay, I'm in a room, I am under oath, they've got me for the next however many hours they want, take a deep breath and just write it out. And then I also can tend to be a little passive aggressive, which also helps my patience.
Okay. You know, if you look at, yeah, got a question, comment right here.
I think one of the enemies that we have is that we want to control the situation, whether it's with our children, our friends, or even our Christian family. And the other thing that I wanted to say was, if you want to learn patience, which I've, you know, in 80 years, I'm still working on it, go to Walmart and stand in line and wait to get checked out. And your patience will either be better or you're going to lose it right there.
There's this guy with this apple in front of you that's trying to get a cheap apple off of that. If you know what I'm talking about, wait till Austin does his sermon later today. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And there's a lot of biblical references. Yes, Rob, got another one more comment.
I got a couple of comments. The first one is, some of y'all need to find another place to shop. Second thing is, if you really want to practice patience, go fishing. That's a good one. Go fishing. Now, if you're too busy to go fishing, you're just too busy.
Exactly. All right.
Now, let's talk about years ago. I'm older now. When we first noticed this young lady that's come into our life, got a mini skirt on, got 5-inch pumps, looking about as good as she can look. Did we have any patience that first date? We opened the car door for them. We all know the drill. 2 years after you're married, she gonna live longer than me. She can open up her own car door. That's it.
If you look at your handout, and there's, I'm not going to get into that one. if you look on your handout, if you didn't get one, you can get one as you go out. There are several biblical references I put here that refer to patience. In Proverbs, the 19th chapter and 11th verse, it talks about a man's wisdom gives him patience. A man's wisdom is tying two things together. If you're wise, you have patience. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse, understanding patience and kindness. So we understand, we know, we learn patience and kindness, which we'll talk about next week. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 12, it refers to joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness. These are behavioral things, things we do. And I think going back to one of our first comments, by intent, it's not something that just comes naturally. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse, be humble and gentle, be patient. It's a command. And if you, someone's driving a car, you say, go slow. That's a command. I do something in response to that. But when we're commanded to be patient, 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, humility, gentleness, and patience. I mean, the Bible's full of verses which talks about and tells us to be patient, be a patient people. So I've listed several things there that I think keep us from being patient. The first one is frustration. Other people don't behave as we want them or expect them to behave. And so we get frustrated. The easiest example you've already talked about is parents and children. A child doesn't behave as you want them to or expect them to, so you get frustrated and you lose your patience. And that takes a lot of different forms of losing your patience, whether you're spanking a child or yelling at them or setting them in a corner or whatever it happens to be. Anger keeps us or hinders us from having patience. Anger is an emotion. Several years ago, Thomas Goldman wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence. I think I've mentioned this before, but in that book, he talked about how we oftentimes get emotionally hijacked. That our emotions take over and we say and we do things that we wish we hadn't said, we wish we hadn't done later. But at that moment, we lose our patience. We just mentioned here a selfless act. Patience is a selfless act. Because I think self-centeredness is a reason why we lose our patience, why we don't have patience. I was at the mall not too long ago, and I saw this young girl walking down the mall, and she said on the front of her shirt, she said, "It really is all about me." And there are times that both of my daughters should have worn that shirt. But I think there's times when I've done the same thing. It really is all about me. I want my self-satisfaction. I want to accomplish something, to achieve something, and I want it done now. Art mentioned, as a boss, I give directions to employees, and I want it done now. And sometimes, oftentimes, I don't give them the resources necessary to get that job done. There's been a lot of news in recent months about Elon Musk taking over Twitter, how he fired about half the people. Because he said half the people could get more work done than all the people that were there before he took it over. I have no idea what the details were about why he did that. But the perception, the public persona of that act, I think we have seen that. I've worked with a variety of companies. I worked with one manufacturing company in the central part of Illinois, which had a manufacturing facility that had 1,300 people, and we worked with them to change how they ran that place. And when we finished through that 3-year process, they could run that same facility with 300 people. And it was a much quieter, much calmer, much more business-focused facility. When you had 1,300, there were people complaining about stuff all the time. So maybe the focus was on, I'm thinking about me and what I want, not what I've bought into, not what I'm committed to, not what I'm trying to achieve as an individual. So self-centeredness can cause us to have a lack of patience. And then one that really jumps out at me is, I think sometimes we confuse what's urgent and what's important. And that causes us to lose our patience. There are a lot of things that are urgent. Not all of them are important. I teach a problem-solving decision-making course for companies sometimes, and when we get into talking about the issues that they're facing, is this a problem? Is this a decision? Is this a project that you have to plan? One of the things I do, I say, bring me a list of your concerns. And we put all those lists up on the board. And we look at item number one. And we ask the question, is that serious? Is that urgent? Could it wait? Is it going to get any worse if you don't do anything about it? And so I think we have to prioritize our behaviors, prioritize our actions by making sure we understand there is a difference between things that are urgent and things that are important or serious. And I think that applies to our Christian life. You know, sometimes when our behavior is such that probably not something we should be proud of, that's a serious issue. Is it an urgent issue? Oh, no, I'll wait till next week. I can be better. I can do that. I can work on that. I'll be a better person next week, next month, next year. When I'm an older person, I won't do these things I'm doing now. But it has a tendency to grow, to develop into something that's creating problems for us. So understanding the relationship between and the differences between urgency, and importance. There's a lot of important things that we kind of sweep under the rug, and we don't deal with them. And then someone mentioned a minute ago the lack of gratitude. I think that's true. We don't appreciate what people have done for us. We're not thankful for what we have. We want more. And because we want more, sometimes we don't have the patience to wait. We don't wait to be admitted to that apprenticeship program. I've talked to students many times. Back when I was a college professor, I talked to students many times who came in and said, well, Dr. Myers, I'm gonna drop out. Really? Why are you doing that? Well, I got an offer for a job over here, and they're going to pay me so much money. I said, well, that's commendable that you got a job offer. But what kind of job offer would you get if you stayed, you got your degree, and you became a professional in that area? Yeah, but that's 2 years. You know, when you're my age, 2 years is like that. Seems like it goes by very quickly. But when you're 18, 20 years old, 2 years is an eternity. That's because they don't have patience. And so this lack of gratitude, this lack of appreciation for what could be if we identify the value of patience. The Greek word that we're talking about here is macrothumia, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And what we're talking about here is delaying action. The Greek word's talking about delaying action or enduring something that is not pleasant. So Paul lists macrothumia as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Gratitude, patience, these virtues we've been talking about, those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it's as old as way long, way older than all of us. This Bible refers to patience as long suffering. That's how it ties. Long patience and long suffering and patience ties those two together and refers to them as kind of a Christian value, if you will. I think the difficulty there is because we define this as a delay in getting what we want. A delay in getting what we want. Now, it's kind of interesting when you think about our life and apply it to that concept. Because is there anyone here who does not want to go to heaven? You know, I'm reminded of the story I heard years ago that said, minister said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody in the congregation raised their hand except one little guy sitting there on the front row. He said, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, well, yeah, but I thought you were getting up a load to go right now, and I'd just prefer to wait a little while. And I think that's the case. Delay in getting what we want. Paul was the same way. I have a desire to depart and to be with God. But I'll stay here. I'll do what needs to be done. So this whole concept, if you will, of patience is something that that I don't think we really practice that much as we should. So when you talk about long suffering and patience, the Bible talks about suffering or enduring or waiting. Suffering, enduring, or waiting. Seems to me that these are related. I think about health issues. Probably most of us have had health issues. And it wasn't pleasant. You know, I was in the hospital for a period of time. You lay there in the hospital bed, and it's kind of interesting because when I'm home, I watch TV and I talk to people and social with people that are around my house. But I'm in the hospital. I didn't want to watch TV. I just wanted that to be over with. I wanted to feel better. I wanted to get better. I wanted to get out of there and get on with my life. But I had to have some patience. You know, it didn't happen overnight. But there's a lot of biblical encouragements that we pointed out here just a minute ago, which talks about the need for patience. And the Bible says we need to wait patiently for God. We need to endure uncomplainingly the various forms of sufferings and wrongs and evils that we meet, and to bear patiently injustices. Bear patiently injustices, which you can't remedy. You can't control other people's behavior. And they're going to run a stoplight, run a stop sign. They're going to cut you off in traffic. But there's more damage that you're doing to yourself when you react in a negative way to that than they'll ever experience. They may not even know it. They may not care. But enduring patiently the injustices which you can't fix. God doesn't work on your timetable. You know, he has his own timetable. So let me conclude with a story. And the story is the story of Lazarus. We've got about 2 or 3 minutes here. Also, I'll skip through and read just a few of these verses from the 11th chapter of John. The whole story goes 44 verses. But beginning with probably about verse 11, when Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." He says, "Lazarus is dead," in verse 14. "And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then skipping down to about the 21st verse, Martha said to Jesus, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And then toward the end of that chapter, about 38th verse, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And verse 39 says, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "By this time there is a bad odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And then the last verse, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." But the key thing, I think, that talks about patience is the 14th verse that I read. It says, "So he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe.'" So what was Jesus saying there? I think he was saying, have patience. I think he was saying, hey, God's power is greater than any power on earth. God's power is greater than death. He's telling him, hey, don't get in a hurry. We're going to go. We're going to see him. And when we see him, you're going to believe that I can do great things. Because here is a person who, after he has died, he's been wrapped in his burial clothes, an odor has begun to come from the body. And that typically in that day and time was about 4 days. They had professional mourners that came in. They'd already left. They had already gone. But he says, "Lazarus has died. I am glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe." And I think the challenge that we have as Christians, challenge that I have as a Christian, is to have the patience to wait on God. He doesn't do things according to my timetable. He does it according to his. So we're out of time. Let's end today, if you will, with a prayer. Bow with me. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful for everything that you have done for us. And we're so used to the blessings that you bestow upon us. But God, grant us patience. Grant us the ability to be long-suffering. Grant us the ability to endure evil. Grant us the appreciation for those good things that we have, that we know that come from you. And to realize that in your time and in your way, you will answer the prayers that we submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you.